You know, in this Christmas season, it brought to my mind seasons of our life. Throughout our life, we experience many, many seasons. We observe them, we experience them, we grow from them. Sometimes we run from them. When we embrace the seasons of life and the opportunities that they bring us, we experience the best that God has for us. You know, when I was a boy in the early mid-60s, in early to mid-60s, now some of you, if you're really young, you said, was that around the Civil War? I said, no, that's the 1860s. This was the 1960s. So in the 1960s, I grew up, and we lived for several years in Ohio. And Ohio is a great place because we lived in the country, and there's rolling hills and woods and creeks. Everything that a young boy of 10, 11, 12 years old loves to experience. And so it was phenomenal. The other thing about Ohio is they have four distinct seasons. I think that summer was probably my best time, the best favorite season, because it was filled with baseball and fishing in the pond across the road and long hikes in the woods and campouts, picking wild blackberries and blueberries and elderberries, and of course mowing the yard and tending our large garden. So there was also some work, but we loved the summer season. But fall came too soon. You know, that summer time of out of school, it's way too short. Summer came too soon with long bus rides back to school, crisp cool air, farmers harvesting in the fields and the farms around us, apple cider and homemade donuts. I remember that as something that we always had in the fall. Leaves turning on the trees, but it was always a great time of that cool, crisp air in the fall. And then the winter arrived, often with little warning. Temperatures dropped way below freezing, sometimes way below zero, and stayed there for a long time. The snows came and they piled up, drifting across the roads. It was perfect place and time for ice skating, for skiing, for sled riding, all the things that we do in Lubbock, right? Of course, Christmas was the best, with a house full of boys. We had four boys at that time. Later, we had four boys at that time. We thought the whole year revolved around Christmas time, around Christmas season. But you know, the most drastic change that we experienced was probably when it changed from winter to spring. After months in snow and ice covering everything, it seemed it all changed in one day. The sky went from gray to bright blue and bright sun and beautiful clouds. And maybe the temperature was 40, but everything was melting and the trees began to bud out. Flowers emerged. Easter and long summer days foretold summer approaching and the end of school. Wow, what a time of celebration. So I have to say that the seasons that I experienced in Ohio, I just love them. Just love them. Now, we experience seasons in Lubbock. We have, you know, we have the day that's the rainy season, and then we have the dusty season, which lasts for about 8 months, and the windy season, which lasts for 10 months. But we love Lubbock. We love here. It's a wonderful place to live. So let me ask you, what is a season? I looked it up in the dictionary, and a season is a time characterized by a particular circumstance or feature. For example, a season of spiritual awakening. That's a season. It can be a period of the year characterized or associated with a particular activity or a phenomenon, something that we experience like hay fever season. Some of you suffer from that. Mating season or hunting season. Some of the guys love to go hunting during hunting season. A season can be one of four quarters, which we just talked about. We divide the year into spring, summer, fall, and winter. It can be the time of a major holiday like we're experiencing now, the Christmas season. But also, it can be a schedule of official games played by a sports team. For example, they were undefeated during the regular season. Or Texas Tech played a great game yesterday but experienced a season-ending loss to Baylor, 48-46. Now let me tell you, there were times when it looked a little grim, but the Red Raiders really made it a game. Let's applaud them. Unfortunately, they may have knocked Baylor out of, even though they didn't win, they may have knocked Baylor out of the opportunity for that national championship tournament. I don't know. We'll see. So seasons, for the purposes today, we're going to define a season as a period of time in our lives that has a beginning and it has an end, where we have some common experience throughout the length of that period, of that particular period. So that's our definition. Let me say it again. It's a season is a period of time in our life that has a beginning and an end, where we have some common experience throughout the length of that particular period. Seasons can be many things. They can be the beginning of our life, our childhood. They can be our development as a young man or a young woman, perhaps the years that we spend in our profession. I had a season where for 5 years, carry a little bit further than that, 5 to 6 years, I was a florist. And people say, "You were a florist?" Yeah, I was a florist. And it was a great season, a great period. Then for 26 and a half years, I had a season where my profession was an engineer, and I worked in the telecommunications industry. And then for the past 6 and a half years, a new season for me in ministry full-time here at Trinity Church, executive pastor. And so our marriage or raising our children can be a season for us, or perhaps our retirement years. Some of you have entered in or experiencing that season. I look forward to that time. You know, when my time here at Trinity is over as a pastor, then likely I'll move into that period of time of retirement, and I'm looking forward to that. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to sit back on my hands and just watch TV. I have lots and lots of exciting plans to do, and you know, I may start a business, who knows, but it will be a new season, that retirement season for me. Regardless of how we mark our seasons, we know that life is not one continuous flow as we travel this road of life. There are periods of time, there are breaks. Sometimes seasons are marked by specific milestones, college years, development of our profession or accomplishments, maybe where we lived a particular time. Becky and I lived for a season of 6 years in Vancouver, Washington. Possibly are seasoned or defined in ministry, or they might be defined by times of great joy or great pain. Sometimes seasons are like that as well. Jesus spoke to his disciples when they inquired of him about restoring the kingdom of Israel just prior to his ascension in Acts 1:7. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." It's not for us to know all the seasons that God is creating. But you see, the Father is the author of the seasons. He's the one that creates seasons for you and I. He defines when they begin, and he defines when they end. He also determines what we are to accomplish in those seasons. Because I believe seasons are for a specific purpose in our lives. They're to accomplish things in God's kingdom, to accomplish things in the lives of other people, to accomplish things in our lives. These seasons are for a purpose. Jesus' life was a series of seasons. If we look at John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Then we move down to verses 10 and 11, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him." And then in verse 14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So there was a season in his life from eternity through the beginning. As a matter of fact, I put together a list of seasons in Jesus' life. Now, this is just my perspective of it. There's nothing specific or biblical necessarily about this, although it does define his life as the Bible describes it to us. But these are just some seasons. I said there's a logical breakpoint here that appears to be a season in Jesus' life. So the first season is Jesus lives from eternity to the beginning. The beginning, I'm saying, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So we know that at the time of creation, that's what the word says was the beginning. But Jesus preexisted that from eternity. He's not bound by time. And so in the beginning, he was the Word. He was with God, he was with God, and through him, all things were created in the beginning. The second season was Jesus as a child and a young man. He came to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He traveled with Joseph and Mary to Egypt at the age of 12. He astonished the teachers and scholars in the temple because of his understanding. We know little about the next 18 years of his life, but we do know that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Season 3, his public ministry. At the age of 30, he began his public ministry and ministered for 3 years on the earth. The fourth season, his death, burial, resurrection. He willingly went to the cross and died. He was buried, and on the third day, he was resurrected. Season 4. The next season, season 5, after resurrection, he walked the earth. He was on the earth for 40 days after the resurrection. He appeared to his disciples, and he spoke of God's kingdom. Season 6, his ascension, his heavenly ministry. He ascended into heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for you and for me, for all of us. And then season 7, his return. Jesus, the Son of Man, will return to the earth, coming on the clouds, the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So even when Jesus returns, he does not know when that season will be. So we don't know. God is the one that ordains the seasons in our lives, just like he ordained the seasons in Jesus' life. In the case of Jesus' return, only the Father knows. In Psalms 37:23, it says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. He delights in our way. I love this scripture. I pray this scripture so many times. You know, in this service, we don't experience it as much. But in our second and third service, the prayer rails are filled. The altar is filled during our ministry time with people that are broken, that are hurting, that are striving to wrestle with the everyday issues of life. And it bears witness with you when you're praying with someone and they're struggling with a thing in their life, a decision, and you say, you know, you realize that they love the Lord. They're desiring God's best for them, and it's easy to pray that prayer that God orders the steps of a righteous man and a righteous woman. He orders them. There's a scripture that we often hear. As a matter of fact, I think Simon and Garfunkel made a song about it. And some of you, I think Turn was the name, but maybe that's the name of it. Anyway, it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And, you know, I remember way back then, I didn't know that that was even in the Word. I didn't know that that was the Bible. I was not, during that period in my life, I wasn't serving the Lord. And so I didn't know that this was the Word, but it says that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. There are many, many seasons in our lives. Here's my main point today. God created each of us for a specific purpose, and He ordained seasons in our lives. For every season, He gives us opportunities. Opportunities, that's very important. And He has specific things that He wants us to accomplish with those opportunities. We dare not live through a season without working toward and striving to accomplish the opportunities that He desires for us, to fulfill the things that He has set about in this particular season that I am in today. We're all familiar with the parable of the talents. You remember that? The landlord had servants. They were his servants. And he called his servants together, and he gave them goods, some of his possessions. And actually, in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods, his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now, this is real important. He gave to each of them according to their own ability, or to his own ability. And so, if I were going to give talents, I would give Tommy a certain number of talents, I would give Robbie a certain number of talents, and I would give Jeffrey a certain number of talents. And the number of talents that I gave them would be according to their own abilities. And so he measured. Tommy has this number, I'll give him 5. Robbie has this number, I'll give him 2. Jeffrey has this number, I'll give him 1. And so that's the way that he measured the talents that he gave them. Now, as we look at this scripture, it's interpreted and it's preached different ways in Christendom, if you will. And some will say those talents are actually gifts that are, or abilities. Talents are just that, talents. But I would say that's not true, because he's giving them each according to his own ability. So it's already, they already have the abilities. So this is talents that he's something else. It's not actually skills that he's giving them, because he's giving them according to their ability that they already have. Now, others would say that this is a monetary value, and in fact, a talent was a measure of gold during that period of time, and it was a very, very large sum of money. That possibly could be it, but I'm going to advocate today that it's something different. And you know, sometimes we can determine scriptures that we can determine, we can interpret them a little bit differently. So I'm going to propose today that he was giving them opportunities. That he gave one 5 opportunities, to another he gave 2 opportunities, to another he gave 1 opportunity in that season while he was gone. And then he departed, and to come back soon and find out how they did. So can we all agree that an application of this scripture could be that they were, in fact, talents were opportunities, and the one with the greatest ability was given more opportunities? That's kind of a natural thing. So verse 20, it says, "So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed, and I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours.' He gave him back the one talent. But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, that my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him he took the talent from him and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. He will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, whew, that's pretty rigid. That's pretty tough. He's going to cast that unfaithful servant into outer darkness because he didn't take advantage of the opportunity that was given him. He said, I'm just going to bury it. I'm not going to take this opportunity. I'm not going to invest it. I'm not going to work in it. I'm not going to put my time in it. I'm just going to bury it, and that's it. And he was cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So just like the servants in this parable, in each season, God gives you and I opportunities according to our abilities. He then has an expectation or a specific outcome for this particular season that we are in. And when we're successful with those opportunities, he rewards us with greater things. He rewards us with greater things. So what season of your life are you in right now? We could look at different ways to... We could look at it pretty simply. We could say, well, I'm in the spring of my life. I'm a young man or a young woman. Perhaps you're in the summer of your life where you're working in your profession and you're really reaching your productive years, and perhaps you're having children and raising children. Maybe you're in the fall where you are experiencing great, great success. Perhaps you're in the winter of your life, the last years of your life. Let me ask you, though, can those be the most significant of all? What opportunities has God given you in this season today in your life? And what does he want you to accomplish? Becky and I'm not sure where we are. You know, we're somewhere in the fall to winter time frame. It's your life is not measured in years, although we do. But, you know, there are years that people that live many, many years, and then others that live short time, and yet some that live shorter have greater, greater impact. Becky and I, our kids are grown, and, somehow God has blessed us with a beautiful home, a large home, and so we like to open up our home to college students. And so, you know, there is a part of the ministry that they've had, small groups, they call it for a long time, living rooms. And so every week we would have kids, college students, come to our home, and we'd feed them a meal, and we'd share a devotion with them and let them hang out. And let me tell you, when you're hanging out with young people, you feel young. You feel young. It makes you feel great. And now you can't go out and play volleyball like they play volleyball in the backyard, but you can play some. And so we really enjoy that experience. And, you know, over the past couple years, we've had hundreds and hundreds of college students in our home because God has blessed us with so many things, and we have an opportunity to invest in their lives. One of the things that's so, so important in our life is we must recognize and heed God's seasons. We have to realize that today I am in a season that God has ordained for me. There is a beginning of that season and there is an end. And in that are opportunities for me to fulfill God's will. The next thing that's very important is the best and most significant season is the one that we are in right now. Right now. You know, we can look back at the things we've done, and maybe we can look forward at the things that we might do. Well, the fact is, you know, we don't want to rest on our laurels, and frankly, there are some seasons in my life that I'm not very proud of. There are some things, some seasons that I think, yes, God has done good things through me, But frankly, I'm not done yet. I'm not finished yet. I look forward to fulfilling what God has for me in this season, and God willing, I will experience another season, but I don't know. So I can't wait. I can't say I'm going to wait till the next season and then I'll be able to do something significant. I have to say I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do this now in this season because tomorrow may never come for me. I don't know. I don't know. Another important point is seasons may change suddenly. We'd better be prepared. Quick story. Becky and I were living in Vancouver, Washington. We loved it there. We had a wonderful church. As a matter of fact, we were in the process of bringing Rob Winkler up to be the pastor of our church in Washington, in Vancouver, Washington. Phenomenal time. I was an elder. I was on the board. It was an exciting time. Rob and I were going to be in ministry together, and he was there visiting, and we're driving down the highway, and he looks over at me, and he says, "Barry, are you leaving?" And I said, "No, I'm not leaving. What are you talking about?" He said, "Somehow, I sense that you're leaving." He said, "If you leave, I'm not coming to Washington. I'm not going to be the pastor of this church." And I thought, whoa. I mean, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm not going anywhere. Well, within a couple weeks, my company decided to close my office, and I was leaving. They moved us back to Lubbock. That season in our life, it was a wonderful, marvelous season, and we anticipated that we would spend that time with the Winklers and ministry in our church, and it was an exciting, exciting opportunity for this new season that we were going to enter into. The fact is, we never got to experience it. That season ended abruptly, and we're moving back to Lubbock. Now, am I thankful for that? Yes, because I came back here. I became an elder at Trinity. I was instrumental in bringing Pastor Carl here. He and I became great friends. I had an opportunity to invest in him, a young, brand new senior pastor, just learning how to walk in the leadership of a large church like Trinity. I had the privilege and honor to stand beside him and help him and invest in his life in that season in my life. But that season changed abruptly. Just a little information. You know, we talk about seasons. Sometimes seasons are measured by other things. In 1916, in Browning, Montana, the greatest recorded temperature drop in a 24-hour period occurred. Seasons can change very, very quickly. They went from 44 degrees Fahrenheit, about what it was when we got up this morning in Lubbock, 44, pretty nice. In Browning, Montana, I've been there in the winter. 44 degrees is sweet. It is nice. It is beautiful. It's warm. It dropped in less than one day to 56 degrees below zero. A 100 degree swing. Let me tell you, seasons can change very, very rapidly. The last note is, every season brings new opportunities. What are we going to do with opportunities that God brings us? A few years ago, Becky and I were given the opportunity to take care of my aunt. She was in her 90s. She and her husband had been successful. They had no children. She was actually my great aunt. Her name was Aunt Tex. Tex was her name. That was her first name. And so Aunt Tex lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and for a period of a couple years, once or twice a month, we would drive to Albuquerque and we would help her with her affairs and, you know, pay her bills and make sure everything was taken care of, make sure that she had caretakers, that they were taking proper care of her. And, you know, this was pretty important. It was her life basically was in our hands. Her welfare was in our hands. And so that was really, really important to us. And I was praying one day and I said, "God, help me to be a good steward. Help me to care for her affairs, to care for her finances in a way that I should." And he spoke to me very clearly and he said, "You know, that's fine, that's good, but that's not the reason I have you there." And I said, "So what's the reason?" "The reason is so you can introduce her to me." Wow. All of a sudden, this thing took on a whole different perspective. Whole different perspective. We were only there 1 or 2 days a month. And yet, God had challenged me, had spoken to me and said, here's why you are here. And so, you know, we began to pray for her as we had before. But, you know, she always had an awareness of God. But I never sensed that she really knew the Lord. And so, you know, again, she was in her 90s. She was in her mid-90s. And so her health was fragile. She was very sharp mentally, but her health was fragile. And so one day she became very ill. Becky went to Albuquerque. I was on a business trip, and I could not go. They put her in the hospital. And each and every day she was in the hospital, she got worse and worse and worse. And finally she just went to sleep, and they could not wake her up. They couldn't wake her up to give her food or water, anything. They could not wake her up. For 2 or 3 days, she would just sleep. I don't know if it was a coma. She was just, they were unable to wake her up. And so we were praying for her, and Becky said, you know, you need to come. You need to get here as soon as you can. And so I finished my business. I flew to Albuquerque. I got in the car. I'm driving and praying, driving to the hospital and praying. And I got up to her room, and I walked into her room, and I spoke her name. She woke up like that. For 3 days, she'd been out completely. She woke up. She was very sharp. She asked for her teeth. We put her teeth in. She couldn't hear, so we'd write notes to her, and she would respond back. And she was sharp as she could ever be. Within a couple days, she got out of the hospital. We thought she was getting ready to die. 2 days later, she's out of the hospital and home. I knew this was the opportunity. So I said, God, enable me to share with her your gift of salvation. So it was early in the morning. I got up, and again, her hearing aids weren't working, and so she couldn't hear anything. So I just began to write out. And so I wrote out, Aunt Tex, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? She said, no, I don't. I said, would you like to know? She said, yes. So by writing it out and her responding, I led her to the Lord that day, that morning. That season, you know, some while back, she made some decisions, and no longer we were responsible for her finances, but that's okay. The purpose for which we were there was so we could share the Lord Jesus with her. So as God spoke to me, so I could introduce her to him. And praise God, we were able to do that. What a tremendous blessing that was. So you may say that I'm just beginning my life. I'm not worried about seasons. Are you making the most of the time and the opportunities that are given to you right now? We don't know how many seasons we'll be given. We don't know whether we will be given tomorrow or not. You may be in the middle of your life, very productive, very prosperous. My question to you is, what are you going to do with this prosperity? Can't take it with you. What are you going to do with it? Do you recognize that God is the one that gives you increase, not you? Perhaps you're in the fall or winter of your life. And I think probably quite a few of us in this room are in that category. You may say, you know, I've labored in the kingdom. I've led this. I've done that. I've done things in God's kingdom. I've worked hard all my life. I just want to rest in my retirement. I recently read about a professional athlete, and he was diagnosed with a very likely fatal heart condition. He was going to die. But he determined that he was going to live today as if he was going to live till tomorrow. And each and every day he did that, and each and every day he began to improve. He lives each subsequent day in the same manner. In this season in life, there are opportunities for him that are yet to be fulfilled. And so he's going to live today as if he's going to make it through today. Daily, he's fighting off death because he believes he's not finished. So I say to you, you're not finished yet. In the latter years of our life, we have the most to give, the most to offer, the most experience, the most wisdom. We do. Look around. Look around this church and see all the young people that need your involvement. They need your mentoring, your discipling, your giving. Today, we have the greatest opportunity in our lives to invest in them. Do not miss it. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in you. God, we thank you for the seasons of our life that you bring us, that you create, that you ordain. And God, that through those seasons, you enable us to take advantage of opportunities that you afford us, God, to invest in the lives of other people, to fulfill things in your kingdom, to invest the blessings that you have given us into others, to be and do things that are significant and not just successful. God, I thank you for all that are here. I pray, Father, that in this season in their life, they will say, Lord, what would you have me do? Help me see this opportunity. Help me be like that good and faithful servant that it takes this opportunity and invests greatly in it and brings tremendous increase back to you, Father God, as our Lord and our Savior. We praise you and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, there may be some of you in this room that have never given their lives to the Lord, like my Aunt Tex. You know, she died at 99 years old. But again, we don't know if we have tomorrow. So if that's you, if you've never given your life to him, I want to invite you to do that this morning. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment, and I want you to pray along with me, and all of us will pray this prayer together. It's a prayer of salvation. It's an opportunity for us to say, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I thank you now that you have saved me and that I have eternal life. Help me to live a victorious life, be obedient to you, and to serve you all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.